Let's gavel. Hey, gavelers, welcome back. This week we have stories.
Every week we have stories.
This time it's not our stories, it's Reddit stories. My favorite type of stories. So this week we went on Reddit and I love Reddit.
Do you use Reddit? I never, ever use Reddit. Like, I honestly don't really even know what it's for, honestly.
It's a place where you can throw out the stupidest of questions and people will be like, here's my opinion. Here's what I think. That's not a stupid question. And I'm here for that. I love that.
That's nice. I like that. Well, I think I like Reddit.
People say things on Reddit that are not usually said. Basically, what we're trying to achieve on this podcast, which is tell people what's up, right? What's up with this profession? There are a lot of communities in Reddit for lawyers. The big ones are like Lawyer Talk, Law Firm. Big Law is one that I follow because ever since I left Big Law, I love to just keep a tab on what's the vibe with Big Law lawyers. And let me tell you, nothing's changed.
Oh, hate that.
Hate that, but I'm glad to know that I'm not missing out.
You're not missing out.
I'm a girl who gets FOMO. I'm not going to even lie.
No. Yeah. I like literally get the opposite of FOMO. Like, I am free for you to do whatever. Go do whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I have no FOMO. Or people are like, don't you want to come? And I'm like, oh, I mean, I could go. But
you're like, leave me out.
Yeah. I'm like, I honestly don't mind. Like, please go. Is that a crazy thought to have?
No, that's very mature and demure.
Is
that
the right way to say
demure?
Demure. You know what? I don't even know how to spell that word. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, it's like demur, but with an extra E somewhere in there.
I think it's with one less R too.
Is it? I don't know.
Anyway, that's very demure.
You guys, a demur is a motion to dismiss in California, if anyone was wondering. It's called a demur. I don't know why, but it is. We've pulled out some threads and we're going to talk about it. So this is a little bit of myth busting, a little bit of commenting, but let's get into it with one of the topics that I am honestly most passionate about in this day and age, where AI is taking over and our clients are going along with it. So this chat says, ChatGPT is making my clients think they are lawyers. Okay. Do I even need to say more?
Yeah.
Okay. So it says,
stop right there. Enough said.
Oh, enough said. Okay. It says, AI has been a great time saver for a lot of work like writing letters, emails, etc. However, recently a new client ran my retainer agreement through AI and called to tell me that HIPAA was spelled incorrectly, and this caused his girlfriend to get worried because one effing word was spelled incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Another client texted me today that she didn't want to sign a settlement agreement because she found out that she could make a claim for a diminished value of her vehicle, which is a POS vehicle, and the extra 6 months to get her an extra $200 is just not effing worth it. These are just two examples of many, many effing laypersons using AI and thinking they are lawyers is something new and annoying AF that I've been dealing with lately. Has anyone else experienced this also? First of all, highly relate to the use of the word effing, especially on this topic. Right. There is literally. This is so true. I have clients that have turned their cases that are like really manageable, less than 100,000, let's call it, into these full-blown lawsuits, bringing in all different types of issues because AI has run them through that hole. I cannot stand that.
It's so frustrating. It's like, it's so frustrating. Sometimes like they have me checking the laws, like I think I know what I'm doing, and then they say something like, is this possible? Because I saw this was possible, like a certain thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or a certain motion or something. I looked it up the other day. I told him, I was like, huh, that's interesting. That's an interesting question. Like, let me look into that. girl, this is not even possible in the state of California. Okay, oh, this is possible in North Carolina only. Yeah, chat is also always giving you just like an affirmative answer. Very like, if I use chat, I have to tell chat, no, that's not right, chat. Like, you can tell me no, but chat is always saying yes, 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 you know?
Exactly. Found them? Not only will it just keep feeding you answers, but we all know chat spits out incorrect information. Classic example is when it makes up case law and attorneys don't double check that. Like, that's my worst fear.
I mean, it'll come up with a whole case and a citation and a state and everything. And I'm like,
and it looks so legit. Yeah, exactly. It looks so legit, but oh my gosh, be really careful about that.
Yeah, like I have a problem with like the paralegals that I work with using chat, like overusing chat. There was an example where I had asked a paralegal to like draft a motion or start to draft a motion for me. And I had, you know, given her instructions like, please do this and make sure you do this. And tell me why when I get the assignment back from her, the first draft, like within the draft are my instructions. So like I'm reading back my word. So it's like, oh, this declaration is for this. And then it says, can you please da 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 da. I'm like, that's what I asked you. And so I highlighted it. I sent it back to her and I said, babe, these are my words back at me.
Yeah.
I said, B, you're smarter than chat. So please let's not forget to use our brain. Yes, chat's faster. Yes, we love chat for like efficiency purposes, but you are smarter. So please read it. Like you can't depend wholly on you know, chat. Yeah.
And then clients get frustrated when their bills are super high, but if I didn't have to spend an hour double checking citations and going into Westlaw and making sure that this avenue exists, like we wouldn't really be here. And usually what chat comes up with that clients want us to roll with, I have never once had it be the more efficient avenue for litigating a case. I've never come across it. It's usually snowballs into inefficiency and one too many problems. And like I'm writing a brief right now and my client really wants to be, you know, part of the writing process. This particular client will email me 5 times a day different theories that he wants me to include in the brief. I'm behind on my writing because I have to kind of track down his random theories and I'm not even really using any of them.
Right.
Because they're not good.
Right.
If you're paying so much to hire a lawyer, why are you trying to make chat your lawyer? I just don't, I
like
cannot.
Either make chat your lawyer or us. Like either you depend on us or you and chat go battle it out in court.
Yeah,
like if that's what you need to do. Yeah, exactly. Like that's fine. Like by all means, head on. But like me and chat, like we're not working together.
Well, someone commented on this thread and said, I've started adding this wording into my fee agreement. It says, please be advised that the complexity and scope of legal services may increase if you use third-party tools, including AI platforms such as ChatGPT, to generate documents, advice, or analysis related to your case. In such cases, the time required for us to review, verify, interpret, and supplement the AI-generated content may exceed initial expectations and may result in additional charges beyond our original estimate. Love that. I'm going to recommend our firm put that in.
Can you send me that?
For sure. I will. Yes. We all of us That's need great. To put that in our fee agreement.
It says exactly that. Like, do it, but at your own risk. So
do it at your own risk. And just know it's not really helping. It's never helped.
It's not helping.
Okay. So that's on chat, period. Don't use it. Hire a lawyer or use that and don't do both.
Exactly. Exactly that. I agree. 100% agree. Okay. So I found, I guess, a comment. Because I don't know how to use Reddit, this is the way I worked Reddit. Okay. So this comment or thought says, this is a myth. Okay. A myth. TV has ruined people. No, we cannot resolve your complex piece of litigation in 45 minutes, not counting ad breaks. If you hire me today, I will not be in court in trial in this matter tomorrow. Hmm. Also, we are not as pretty as TV lawyers.
We are.
I mean, we are. Yeah. I mean, we look better because we don't have to even wear all that makeup. Yeah, we can't speak, but for others, I get that part. But the other comment I agree with, because no, your matter will not be solved in 45 minutes, nor will it be solved in a day. So please, you know, understand that it takes time. I've had clients who are like, this is so simple. I don't understand why it's taking so long. And I'm like, could it be because I have other cases? Could it be because this is not my world? You are not my only client. Could it be because this is just a complex matter? And I've had to tell people, like, well, and people who happen to use chat or whatever sources they have, that tell them this is so quick and this is going to move so fast. And I'm like, no, one lady even told me, we went to family court and she was like, why weren't you yelling? Why weren't you objecting like they do on TV? Why weren't you yelling at the judge? And I was like, what do you mean yelling at the judge? She was like, that's what they do on TV. And I said, oh, sweet thing. That's what they do on TV. We don't yell here. We don't yell here. You want me to be in contempt of court for yelling at the judge?
Literally, one good way to lose your case is after your lawyer.
Literally, do you want to lose or do you want to win? I'm like, that's not what we do. And she was so serious. And I was like, girl, I love a TV. I love TV for that reason, because I love to see the whole case conclude in the 45-minute episode.
Yeah.
But that's just not real life. You know?
Totally. Usually we're waiting for the court to get back to us with a day. Yeah. We're waiting for opposing counsel to get back to us with a day. And those people have a million things going on. So it's just not feasible. Like, I had a client, the day that we served the lawsuit, he's like, hey, do we have a date for trial yet? And I'm like, no, man, we have so many hurdles to go through before you get a date. And every step of the way, I'm like, okay, it's been served. Okay. Date? I'm like, no, you have to wait. It's a process.
Oh my gosh.
Hence due process. I haven't had a single case resolve in 45 minutes, and I would pay money to see the case that resolved literally off TV.
I mean, you are that girl. Okay. You are that guy. If you are solving the case in 45 minutes, I mean,
I know.
My gosh.
You need to be on like the cover of every magazine, because what are you
literally
doing?
Literally. Because please, are they using AI? What's happening?
No, because they're definitely not using AI. Definitely not.
Literally so funny.
Yeah, that's so funny. Okay, this is one that I think relates to things that we've talked about in past episodes. So this one says, the title is, shout out to the attorney who followed me out of the courtroom after I was brutally verbalized by the judge. It says, 12 or 13 years ago, I was sent to argue a horrible motion by a horrible partner. I tried to convince him it was a bad motion. I found myself being screamed at by a very red-faced judge in open court while opposing counsel smirked. I started crying before I was able to get out of the courtroom. A very nice older man followed me out and walked with me a bit. He didn't say much, but he made it clear I didn't deserve that. Was reminded of that reading a thread about a belittling judge. We really do need to take care of each other. Oh,
so sweet.
This one hit home for me, because you know this has happened to me before. I mean, what this guy said about the judge was screaming and opposing counsel just smirked, like that. Ugh, I don't even know what to say. I can relate.
Me. I relate with the part that says I was sent to argue a bad motion that I tried to talk my boss out of arguing. That's me. That's me. Every other time I'm going to court, it's to do something that I feel like, you know, I don't really agree with sometimes, you know. And it's a bad motion, and I'm like, this is an uphill battle. And like, how do you ignite rather hope in your client when it's like, I don't really agree, and the judge may get upset, and the other side is going to look at me stupid, but like, this is my boss's order, so I want the record to be clear that I tried to do what you asked me to do. But it's hard. Yeah, that's hard. I mean.
Yeah. Well, this has only happened to me once, but I walked away from that, and I was just – so luckily that one was on Zoom for me, and I was able to get through it. But I was really like – you know when you're like right there, the tears are right there, but you're like – still talking through it. That was me. And the second I got through it, I didn't cry, but the second I hung up, I was bawling in my office, mind you. And like, I could not get it together. It was, I was shook.
That's so hard.
It was so hard, but and you know, I don't know how old this person was. They said it was 12 or 13 years ago. So, you know, now they've been practicing for some while, but when you're a young attorney and that happens, it's just like, what did I do? What did I do? You know? Yeah. And it's probably nothing. You didn't do anything.
It sounds like what he kind of came in with something that he'd maybe thought the judge was going to look at like as dumb or something. And then but that's kind of what happened.
I still don't think judges should be yelling.
No, I don't think they should. It kind of just, you know, it stops the courtroom. The good thing is like when you're up there, like, even if you were in person, you're up there, you know? And so it's like, you can't see what everybody's doing behind you or maybe how they're like, looking like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But it's still just like, it's out of place. Like, it just feels like out of body, like being yelled at in front of your client and your peers. Yes. And it's just like, whether or not I agree with this or not, like, talk to me, you know, talk to me. Like, don't yell, don't raise your voice.
Exactly. Be stern, but damn, you're trying to yell out here? Like,
I mean,
you know, like I said on the last episode, what are you, my dad? No, please. No.
And it's also like,
I don't know you like that.
I don't. As a matter of fact, like, I don't, and it's not right that just because if I start yelling, you can, you know, hold me in contempt or, you know, give me sanctions or something. Exactly. But if you start yelling, there's like no consequence for that.
Yeah.
It's like, are we raising voices now? Let me know so that I can do that.
Right. By the way, I love my dad. That had nothing to do with my dad. I'm just saying, like, as a parent. But, you know, the other comment in this about opposing counsel smirking, it's not like I'm embarrassed at opposing counsel seeing that go down. It's more like I just resent them for not, for smirking and like enjoying my pain and suffering.
Right.
If it was them, I would be, I wouldn't smirk. I would not smirk. I would I don't know.
Yeah, no, because it's like we are like with the judge, like we are equal, like me and us and opposing counsel, like we're equal. So like if they're yelling at you, like I'm learning from that. If they're yelling at me, like you learn from that. Like it's not like a moment to be like,
don't bask in.
Yeah. Don't enjoy that. Right?
Don't enjoy it. That's sick.
Yeah, that's rude. Yeah, no, I don't appreciate you for that.
Okay.
Your turn, baby. Another myth?
Yeah.
I have all the myths. Okay.
I love it.
That what feels fair to you is the same as what the law requires, and that you can't be convicted of a crime if you feel like you're a good person and if you weren't trying to hurt anyone. Sometimes something bad will happen to you that is really unfair, but there will be zero options to do anything about it through the legal system. Unfortunately, I've had to deliver news like this to clients before.
Yes.
I get it. You didn't mean to hurt anybody. You fell asleep at the wheel. You only had one margarita. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. But now, unfortunately,
your blood alcohol.
Yeah.
Tested something.
Exactly. So here we are. If you had just pulled over. I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even doubting that. You're great. Love you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Unfortunately, the margarita was it. Do you think it was drug? Do you think it was no. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know how to do alcohol calculations, but unfortunately, here we are.
Yeah.
So there's unfortunately zero other options I can do for you.
Or if you're a plaintiff and you're trying to sue somebody for something that you feel that they've wronged you, well, first you have to make sure that you actually have a cause of action and your facts meet all of the elements of that cause of action. Because if you, for example, were hit, or let's not say hit, let's not use that, but let's say you, I don't know, something happened, but there was no damage from it. And your damage is, I was emotional for a week after that. Well, I'm really sorry that you're emotional for a week, but you're probably not going to get anything from that experience because there's no concrete damages. And people love on this topic to throw what's it? IIED. What is it?
Yeah. Intentional infliction of emotional distress. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have to have, they love that. They said they did this, this, and this, and I've been emotionally inflicted and I want this lawsuit and now I want $1 million for it. And it's right. like, well, do you have $1 million worth of doctor's bills? Yeah. Right. Legal fees. Did you lose an arm? Like, that's pretty much how you're going to get it.
No.
Yeah.
And it's sad because it's like, did all that have to happen? And it's like, technically, unfortunately,
yeah.
Kind of, yes. You know, like,
sometimes you need therapy and not a lawyer.
Yes.
That's just yes. how it is.
Yeah, I know. And I think people think like they go to therapy and they're like, I think I need a lawyer now. And it's like, babe, back to the therapist because yeah. I can't do – the therapist will do more for you in this situation. I can hear you and I'm sorry. We can hug it out, give you a hug. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you must carry on, okay? You are strong.
Yeah. You made it and through. You know what? People love to throw out lawsuits as the ultimate revenge.
But yes.
A lawsuit is so complicated and it can take so long and so much of your money. And it's sometimes it's just, is it worth it? Is it mm-hmm. really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times the answer is no.
Because by the time, yeah, by the time you get that revenge money that you've been hoping for to like show them that you were right all along. Wait, babe, it's been 5 years.
Oh my you know, gosh.
Yeah. It's been years. So it's like now you just put yourself through all of that too.
Exactly.
And it's like you could have moved on. And sometimes the best revenge is moving on, saying exactly. nothing. You know, sometimes the silence is loud
yes.
when you're just like, you know what? You're not even worth my time, energy, or money. Goodbye.
Ugh, period. I love
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that the truth? So it says, I'm a second-year associate. My firm requires in-person Monday through Friday from all associates. I go in every day and I've taken 2 days of PTO since I started here last summer. Yesterday, I left work early, around 3:30 p.m., to get home in time to let a dog out that my wife is fostering. Wife is out of town for 2 days, so this isn't a common thing I have to do, but I thought it's no big deal, especially since it was already late in the afternoon. Before you even asked me, there was no deadline or any other time-sensitive filing or task that I was skipping out on. Soon after I got home, I received an email from a partner asking where I was. I responded quickly, explaining the situation. The partner didn't reply back. Then first thing in the morning, two partners came to my office and lectured me about being more communicative and that I always have to let the firm know if I'm not going to be in the office anytime between 9 to 5 on a workday. For the last 2 hours, I've been increasingly angry, replaying the discussion in my head, thinking about their behavior towards me. I'm a grown adult and consistently work hard, bill a ton, and have a good attitude. Am I really not able to tend to a personal life obligation without notifying every partner?
Mm.
Wow.
That upsets me.
It upsets me. It upsets me because it's real.
It's upsetting because it's like literally my everyday life. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like so upsetting. It's like, right, like I'm working remote, right? Does not remote mean remote? Unless you tell me that I need to not work remote or go in or something. In that case, obviously, I'll make myself available in person. Other than that, I work remote. So why, when I work remote, are you telling me, I need you to come to this in person today? I can't make it today in person to that because I'm working remote. And today I have to be working remote from maybe another state or maybe I'm on the plane. Well, you didn't tell me that you were going to, you didn't tell me you were working remote and like not going to be in person.
Yes, I did.
Here?
I told you.
I'm not getting it. Yeah. Like this is remote. So like, it's just like, it's frustrating when it's like, you know, this is the only thing I'm not able to make it to. Like, it sounds like this guy, he was there every other day, you know?
Right.
I leave for 5 minutes. It's like, come on.
It's so, this is so real. Okay, I go in person Monday through Friday, and I relate to this so hard. It's awkward to leave early because there's this unspoken pressure about not being able to live your life, have control over your time just because I attend the office when I work. I don't think leaving at 3:30 is a big deal. And the way this person describes themselves, I bet you they're going to make up for it, or they're going to get back online when they're home. Like, what is the big deal leaving an hour and a half early to attend a business for one day? I don't know. I think as an attorney, if you're hitting your hours, if you're meeting your deadline, if you are, you know, doing what you got to do, then other than that, what's the big deal? Tell me what you think about this comment. So someone commented, I love the disconnect between Reddit and reality. Original poster literally just needed to pop their head into a partner's office on the way out the door and say, hey, I'm heading out early to let my wife's dog out. They aren't mad you left early. They are mad you didn't say anything. What do you think about that?
I mean, I just feel like I'm an adult. If I left, like, assume the best of me.
You know, it's different from, I mean, all respect to all other jobs, but it's different from many other jobs because we are professionals. We are judged and tracked, and our progress is tracked in different ways. So for us to be present, like clocked in from 9 to 5, isn't as important as, for example, getting tasks done or getting your time in, you know, doing the billable work, being responsive. You know, those are more important than being under this roof 9 to 5.
Yeah. And I feel like you shouldn't be like penalized or have a whole sit down. Like, it does make you feel like a child. It's like, I'm an adult and I care about this work too. And I'm going to make sure it's done. Like, you can't help but to do what he did and sit there for 2 hours just thinking, like, what just happened? Yes. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, if bosses like treated people like adults, or specifically law firm partners, if they treated you with that trust, like, you would get a whole different personality out of us. Like, we want to be here. We worked hard to be here. Like, so if I take 30 minutes, it's because I needed to go, you know, and I needed to take a minute. If I need to take 10 minutes in my car, I needed that. So, like, don't penalize me or punish me for that. And honestly, like, I've sat in the office for 8 hours and done, you know, work for 4, you know, so just because I'm sitting here doesn't mean anything. Yeah. You see my body here. But my mind and my computer, we're doing 2 different things.
Well, you know? These partners sound like micromanagers, and micromanagers are the worst. I remember one time my associate that was on my team, she was talk about a micromanager. She was the worst of the worst. The partner had emailed me for something, and it was a research question, I think. And if I remember correctly, I had looked into the question, and then there was no case law on this particular question. So I think I emailed back to the whole team, and we were like a team of 4 with the partner. And I said, like, I can't find this. And I don't know. I had like a long email that kind of broke it down, like what I looked for and stuff like that. I thought it was like fine. I remember being feeling like this was a good email because I showed my work I showed my work and it was good.
Right.
But I couldn't find the answer because there was none. And then the next day, oh my God, it was the scariest thing ever. He didn't come by. He didn't say anything after that.
What?
She came by and she was like, hey, can I talk to you in this office? I was like, okay. She takes me in there and she says, this email you sent last night was inappropriate. It was unacceptable. This is a fireable offense. And I was like, what are you talking about? Wait, are we talking of the same email? Like,
And like, I did that email.
I thought it was such a good email, you know?
Right.
And she was just like, yeah, like, it's unacceptable to send a partner an email that says whatever I had said, I can't find the answer or whatever. And it's a fireable offense. If he wasn't such a cool partner, then I promise you, like, this would have been something that would have been reported to HR or something like that. And I was just like, girl, are you delusional? Like, what is wrong with you? It was just like, what are you talking about?
What are you saying right now? Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to get fired for that, fire me. I don't want to be here. Yeah.
I can't be here.
I can't be here. I can't be amongst people who say that right there, fireable. Why? Because you couldn't find an answer. Like, I think she was trying to say that yeah, you can never tell a partner that there's no answer as like the most junior associate. I think that's what she was trying to say.
Oh, it was just like the position you were in that made it wrong, not the answer.
To be honest, it wasn't clear to me because all she was saying was fireable, fireable, worst thing, worst email, terrible. You're doing a terrible job. Like she just, that was her thing. But I think looking back, maybe she was trying to tell me I should have like gone to her instead. I don't really know. Oh, but okay. Whatever it is, the micromanager types and those people who want to threaten your job and be like, next time you gotta, and when it's like, I didn't even try to harm you. I was just doing my best.
I did my best. I'm new here. Yeah.
I'm new. Right? Year one. Like right. 3 months into it. Literally. Sorry.
Yeah. My gosh. That is so crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Micromanagers are like,
you know, we call her Cruella DeVille in this household because that's just like one of the
Cruella.
Like there's a scroll. Yeah, there's right. a scroll going down of things that she was insane.
Are those people just like, you know, so upset yeah. that they have to find like every single
yes.
like thing? Like it's correct. So like I got in trouble, not to my face, but through my paralegal about me and using the restroom.
Oh my God.
I went to the restroom too many times.
Oh my God.
In the day. And so much so where that person told the paralegal, you can't work with her. Don't help her. She should do her own stuff because she's using the restroom too much and she's wasting. That's 5 minutes every time she uses the restroom times this many hours in the day, times this week, times this many months. That's much money. That much money is what she's costing this firm.
Oh my God.
Okay. Okay. I was drink water.
Wait, who so, is she?
No, this was the HR.
Oh, Lord.
Which there is a scroll. Okay. There is a scroll for this HR person. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, and so I was like, what do you mean? Like, and she was just telling me like, I mean, they're counting like how many times you walk up to the front and go to the restroom. Oh and I was God. Like, but is that bothering anybody? Is the work, bro? I feel like before you come to me and say anything to me, you need to ask yourself these following questions. Mm. Is the work getting done?
Yes.
Is the firm still making money?
Correct. Yes.
Are the clients being taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
Is her leaving hurting the business as a whole?
No.
Okay. And then if the answer to all those things, okay, are in the affirmative or in the negative as they should be, then leave me alone. Okay. I'm imperfect. I'm just a person. Okay.
Oh my God.
You know, like, and it's like also it upsets me because if anybody's wasting the firm's money, it's you sitting right. here
worrying about
following
this.
Me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead yeah. of doing work, yes. I'm doing work.
You want me to go to the bathroom more because the more yes. refreshed I am, the more I will work. If I'm yes. sitting here holding my bladder because I'm scared to walk out the door, well, nothing's getting done, I promise you.
Nothing. I'm just going to sit here. So let me use the rest. It's so dumb. It's like, it's counterintuitive. So if you let me go let out the dog, I mean, it's like, it's small, but it's like, why do I feel so trapped? It's like, we're not in, we don't want to enter into slavery by working here.
It's so funny because I'm like, on this pod, we've just been sharing all of our horror stories. It's so funny because like it sounds like every day is like terrible. It's not, but these situations really stick out and they're things that I just never would have known I'd have to deal with.
Yeah. No, and that's kind of like how this podcast got born. I feel like in a way it's like our conversations about things that like we didn't expect to go through this. Like we didn't expect to have issues going to the restroom or writing emails, like things that you think that you know, because you think that you're an adult when you graduate and you pass the bar and then you're actually a child, you know, where judges are yelling at you and people are yelling at you. So it's kind of like just take this in to understand that these things do happen. It's not that they happen every day, but they do happen. So just be mindful. So when they happen, you're not like as shook as we were.
Right. Okay. What's another myth?
Okay. A myth Okay, here are two different ones, but they're kind of related, so I'll read them together. One, all attorneys are intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And two, all attorneys are committed to their clients.
Oh my God.
This is bad. Okay.
This is bad.
We're just going to keep it short.
Yeah.
And say, that's not true.
It's not true. Can we just end it right there? Mic drop. That's
right.
Not
literally. True. Yeah. That's not true. Okay. Unfortunately. Yeah.
No.
Okay. That's different.
Okay. I love that. Okay. Other than being in court, are there any legal fields where you don't have to sit in front of a computer most of the day? I already know about the ones that involve being in court a lot. Not looking for those. Just wondering if there are any other paths that are less screen-based and provide variety. Wow. I love this one.
Are there? Yeah.
Not that I know of.
I mean, I'm like, let me know. What does the answer say to that? Because I don't know.
The answer say, okay, let me tell you. One person said, I literally can't think of one. So much of the job today, even for litigators, is based around screen time. Another one said, even the court-heavy ones are screen-heavy. True. When not in court, you're responding to emails, reviewing discovery, researching, and usually on a screen. Someone said, retired lawyers, about the only one I can think of. Maybe also unemployed lawyer.
Literally. I'm like, I don't think there is one.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think so. My answer is not that I have looked for this, and no, the answer is no on my end. Someone said mediation, but mediations these days are on Zoom, so no.
Yeah, so they're on the screen.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, no, I don't think so. Like, it's super screen heavy. Like, I mean, get your glasses, your bifocals, your laptop accessories, and your...
Yeah, save up for LASIK because you're going to
need it. Save up for back, you know, back braces and all kind of stuff. Like, it's a whole thing, you know?
To be honest with you, I think if I would have known how much time I have to spend behind a screen for this profession, I don't think I would have gone into it. Like, if I really truly understood what it took.
Yeah.
Because it is hard on the body, and I feel like I'm getting like wrinkly from the screen. Is that a thing?
I know. I don't want this career embarrassing me and aging me.
I found a white hair the other day, white hair, and this was in the bathroom of my office building, you know, with the fluorescent lights. So, and I was already so tired, and I just see this white hair, and I literally lost it. I was like, I need to get out. I need to get hair.
Like, literally, like, my hair is just, I can't. I just don't want to be, like, I remember in law school when they did one of those panels, and I think it was I think this was like the day I decided big law's not for me.
Okay.
Was when they did a panel on big law, and there was this girl that was there, and she swore, okay, she was like 28, but she looked like 58.
Oh my God.
And kid you not, like, honestly, without exaggerating, I was like, what has this career done to you? I mean, she looked like death. And I remember me and my friend were like, girl. And she was like, I'm like 1 year out. I'm like, babe, no. Okay, did you let them do that to you year?
That was literally me. I think if I would have stayed in big law by now, I would have been 200 pounds, gray hair all over, wrinkly, ugly, all my youth gone. I was sick from it, and you could tell.
Yeah.
And I was only 11 months in when I had to say, I think my health is way more important than whatever this has to offer me, because it's not even that good.
Right.
In big law specifically, you are literally behind the screen all the fucking time, including you're sleeping, but you have one eye open because a partner might email you in the middle of the night, and it is unacceptable to wait until the morning to reply. Like, you know,
You're just stressed all the time. And then it's like, why are partners even up at that time of day? Like, do we know why they do that?
Yes, because they're workaholics. And that's what law, like, why do you think there's so much substance abuse and alcoholism? Is people are literally trying their very best, and that's all that will bring them joy.
It's like this career, we spend 40 plus hours in a week. It's like, it's taking – it's taking a toll, yes. You know?
Yes. And I don't think people realize how much chronic stress can affect your well-being. I mean, it's so insane. So I'm so much better. I'm healed. And thank God I have an amazing boss who doesn't really micromanage my time to like follow me to the bathroom. Like none of that's happening.
Yeah.
So really now I'm just like screen time is a lot still. So just know for the most part, you know, if you're looking into getting into law, you probably can expect to be behind a screen a lot.
The last myth that I'll do is lawyers are all rich. This says we're not. It's like any other profession. Some people are very financially successful and some are not. Most are in between.
Correct.
Thoughts on that?
I would agree. I think that we as professionals with a doctorate degree, yeah, there are a lot more opportunities to get into jobs like big law firms that offer you, you know, giant salaries, but it comes with the time that you have to invest in the job, and the time is pretty much around the clock. So I personally don't think it's worth it, but yeah, they're rich, but they can't really like do anything with it. There's also jobs that offer like $80,000 to $90,000 to $100,000. So it's like all different ranges. I agree. I think most people fall in between.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, like, I 100% agree. My first offer that I got as a lawyer was $50,000. So
that's insane.
It was crazy. I had to, like, me not knowing, like, me kind of being, like, me having an idea of what I wanted. But then, like, I've never worked outside of the restaurant industry, like, throughout, you know, college and stuff. So I remember going to my little career counselor at UCI and I was like, so they offer me $50,000. You know, me hearing thousand, I'm like, ooh. She's like, absolutely not.
No.
That's ridiculous. No. And I'm like, oh, shoot. But yeah, I realized that's crazy. You're crazy for that. Like, you honestly.
Yeah. Now that we know, right? It's like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Not.
Yeah. But that was my first legitimate offer that I received. And so.
So your first was 50. My first was 205.
Right.
Like, that's out of law school.
Crazy, right?
So,
and we graduated at the same time. We went to the same school.
And we're like equally as competent, like everything. But it's just.
It's crazy. So to answer your question, yeah, like don't just assume.
Yeah.
Okay. They may be the $50,000 lawyer that's like has a great savings account, you know?
Right. I don't know. Law is so, what's the word? Is insulated the right word? There's
like a bubble.
Yeah, there's so little transparency into the realities day to day, the like realities of this profession. And thank God for us because we're shedding all the light.
I mean, shed light. It is that. Like, it is so like people have an idea of it from TV, but then like they don't really know anything else. Mm-hmm. And like, so like when you join this career, you're thinking bright lights in the big city, and then really you can get a $50,000 offer, you know?
Exactly.
And so who would have ever guessed, like, you know, managers at restaurants make more than that. So it's so variable. It's so crazy. I remember in Argentina when I was like studying, when I was like first starting to think about being a lawyer.
Yeah.
This one guy asked me, like, does everybody in America drive like a yellow Ferrari?
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, babe, no. I was like, I wish. And so I feel like that's how people look at lawyers too. Like, everybody's rich. Every lawyer is just that girl, that guy, like in the top of the top. And you just have no idea, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Totally. Yeah. Okay, the last one. Somebody posted, this is my favorite, and I saved the best for last.
Okay, yeah, we have to do it.
So, you know that new show with Kim Kardashian being a lawyer, All's Fair.
Yes.
And that outfit that went viral of the suit, that's a suit in the front and it's a thong in the back.
Right. We saw it.
Okay. I lost the post, but someone posted it and just said, what do you think? Are we wearing this to court? You guys. I could never in a million, bajillion, trillion years imagine wearing something like that to work or to court or anything.
Ever.
Period. Like,
ever. How can you wear a suit Okay. Like something that's so like conservative. Something in nature that's so conservative and so professional. And then in the back have almost the most.
Girl.
Like the least conservative thing on that you could ever expose to people. Like
it's like when the plumbers come in the house and like yes. have their asses out.
Yes.
Like, it's just giving, like it's giving crack out.
Crack out. And then it's also giving like how like what do you want me to do about this? Like am I supposed to see that? Am I not supposed to see that? Are you hiding it but you're not really hiding it? Yeah. Like do you want me to take you seriously? Are we joking? Like I don't know what to do about that. Like I feel weird now. When you're making me feel weird.
I think if she walked into a real courtroom with that outfit, she would be sanctioned or asked to leave.
Like there is a decorum to be had in court and judges will like it's like going to church, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
With the thong out.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's like you just don't do that. You don't do it.
Who greenlighted that? Because that was terrible.
Right. I get it. You're an all women law firm, right? So like you can maybe express yourself in a more feminine way than maybe like a woman in like a male dominated law firm,
but not like,
but we need to express ourselves with class and dignity, my girl. It's so like and only because she's
I love Kim, but like, no, Kim, no. Kim. And you know what? It's so ironic because she's trying to be a lawyer and I almost want to, I hope someone told her like, babe, no, like just so you know, that's not going to fly in real life. You can do that for TV,
and you can do it for and you can do it for the Kardashian show as well. You can do it there, and you can do it for TV, but you can't do it.
You cannot
in real life in court.
No, everyone will laugh at you. You're gonna look stupid. Your client's gonna fire you. The judge is gonna sanction you. Like it's like, gonna be bad, bad, bad,
girl. Like it's like you just don't do it. And the runway.
The verdict
different.
Is in.
The verdict. Case closed.
Case closed. You're guilty of a fashion crime.
Guilty. Guilty. Sanctioned. Goodbye. It's so crazy.
I love that. Well, I love this episode. That was so fun.
Yeah, so much
fun. I love that. Yeah. Myth busting and shedding light. You know that's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's what we do best.
That's what we do.
So we'll end it there for now. And until next time, we will see you later, gavelers. Bye.
Bye.